Between the Lies podcast. Read Between the Lies. Episode 24. 1996, I burst onto the scene with addiction and confliction in my DNA and genes. Later I would spiral hoping someone intervened. Slowly I would find out that this world ain't what it seems, cause the cost of living is heightening, the outrage is deafening. Should be taking vitamins, but they're prescribing Vicodin. Seeming like he's bleeding on the beat, I put my life in this. Pain rained down and then the thunder and the lightning hit. The only ghost I got is in my mind, it's me that's writing it. And welcome back to the Between the Lies podcast, where we deep dive into whatever wicked or warped subject we might find our way into at that given time. As always, I am your host, and with this being the 24th episode of the Between the Lies podcast, keep in mind that typically we're dropping on anywhere from a 14 to 16 day cycle. So that means that soon we're coming up on 1 year of doing the Between the Lies podcast, and we are slowly growing, and I am just soaking it in, and I'm always just happy to be here, not only in life, everyday life, enjoying the little moments, but the ability to get on here and vent and talk about some of the things that I'm interested in and get other people's feedback, whether that be on TikTok or people I know, like friends, people I just know through the conspiracy circles, reaching out to me to say, hey, you know, I like this. I thought this could use some work. You know, the ups and downs of having your own podcast is crazy. I've experienced it way back when I had my first iteration of the Between the Lies podcast, and I'm experiencing it now as well. There's some things that I record, and I think it's like a solid subject to talk about, and then once I get to talking about it, I realize, oh, I don't really have enough about this, and then I'll rework the episode. So just know that a lot of work goes into this podcast. No matter what, I'm going to keep doing this podcast, and as we reach the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, I think I'll probably drop a bonus episode. There is an episode I've been holding off on dropping. It's not necessarily conspiracy, it's more in the realm of supernatural, and it talks about the appearance of angels, guardian angels, chills as I'm saying this, guardian angels in people's lives and things that I've experienced. So briefly, just to tell you guys, my mom passed away 11 years ago. So 11 years ago on May 24th, which was last week. And so I've had a lot of things in my life, life-altering things happen to me. And that's a story for another time. I try not to get too personal. But nonetheless, I've had visits from what I consider to be a guardian angel type of entity a few times in my life. So I wanted to talk about that on the podcast, and I'm working on that episode diligently. So today we're going to be talking about Ashley Biden's diary and the entirety of the saga that captured people's attention in 2020 to start before the 2020 election. Of course, many mainstream news media companies, whatever you want to call them, scam artists, propaganda artists. And again, I'm not right wing, left wing. I'm somewhere dead center where it's like, let's get our fucking country figured out and let's solve some of the problems here before we solve the world's problems. But nonetheless, in 2020, this came out and it was painted by national news and media as a smear campaign to Joe Biden. And basically the authenticity of said diary from Ashley Biden was completely called into question, and many people, again, just referring to it as a smear campaign. We do have some updates in 2024. Of course, there were court proceedings that happened about last week that actually confirmed the authenticity of said diary from Ashley Biden, and it really begs a giant question from me. So this might be more of a rant than anything, but just let me go, because I'm really getting sick of the double standards. I'm sick of the media protecting one side of the aisle and not the other. It just is propaganda at its very finest. So let's talk about 2020 and what led up to this diary being released on such a mainstream scale. So again, in 2020, Ashley Biden moved out of a Delray Beach apartment, house, condo, whatever, and she left behind some belongings. These belongings included this diary, which of course we'll spend most of the episode talking about, apparently some tax records, as well as some type of digital camera device that had like a couple hundred photos of family, and apparently nothing too weird on that. But the lady who inherited the new home, got into the new home, however she acquired it, actually found the diary and put the pieces together and figured out, wow, this is Ashley Biden's diary. Like, this is some crazy stuff. Now, keep in mind that there are some sexually explicit claims and allegations in there as well. So that's most of what we'll be talking about today. But nonetheless, she contacted certain people close to her and certain people she thought could do something with the diary. And she was basically assured, listen, you're sitting on gold. You're going to make a shit ton of money. Let's sell this diary. So we're going to talk about how it ended up in the hands of Project Veritas, which, of course, has been under intense scrutiny from the FBI, the DOJ, etc., since this entire scandal came to light. But nonetheless, let's read a little bit of this article about that so we can get the background down, and then we'll start diving into the details, guys. So the website states, a month before the 2020 presidential election in which Ashley's father was the Democratic candidate, the National File, a right-wing blog, so nobody's denying that it's a right-wing source that put this out to start, but again, that doesn't make this some type of partisan issue that we take sides on. This is a middle-of-the-aisle type of issue, so let's clear off right-wing, left-wing allegiances here and just listen to this. So, of course, a right-wing blog, yes, published an alleged copy of the complete diary of Ashley Biden, the 39-year-old daughter of Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden, from during or around the 2020 campaign. Now, a particular page from the leaked diary, which was often cited, contained the first daughter's detailed writings about her recovery from addiction. Shockingly, it also mentioned sexual trauma, where she raised questions about, and I quote, her words, being hypersexualized at a young age. Besides references about her aversion to visiting a particular family member's house, being sexualized with a female friend, and having sex with friends at a young age, she also wrote about taking showers with her dad. She even wrote, in her own words, showers with my dad, in parentheses, probably not appropriate. I do want to read the exact excerpt from the PDF, whatever you would call it, picture file that they have, because obviously this entire diary was photocopied through some type of machine and then it was released in that type of format. So it states, showing the boys my underpants, I believe this is reference to her doing that in school because of some sexual trauma she went through, being hypersexualized at a young age. What is this due to? She asks. Was I molested? I think so. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember trauma. I remember not liking the Woolzak's house. I remember somewhat being sexualized with Caroline. I remember having sex with friends at a young age and showers with my dad, which were probably not appropriate. So in her own words, she's literally stating that she was molested at some point in her life. And of course, I'm gonna let you guys know that these are all allegations, and the only reason I say that, of course, is for legalities and purposes of the sort. I don't want to ever be sued for any of this type of stuff. But nonetheless, in her own words, stating that she experienced a sexual trauma that she can't remember. And keep in mind that this is something that is extremely common with people who endure some type of sexual explicit trauma throughout their lives. They black out, they blank out the memory. It's called a repressed memory. Many people do it for various reasons. And of course, Ashley Biden throughout the diary as well would go on to note that she has PTSD from some of these things. So it's not completely out of the question. Many people would say, how does she not remember who molested her? Like, she's implying it was her dad. Now, of course, she is implying it was her dad by sneaking in the line, taking showers with dad, probably not appropriate. But nonetheless, she's referring to her teenage years. So this would be her father showering with her past the age of 12 or 13. So it'd be different if she was like 5 years old and I don't know, maybe she just started taking showers instead of baths and she said, oh, maybe dad can come with me. You know, like things like that happen with younger kids. It's really not a big deal. That would be a totally different story. But we're talking about her being a teenager. And she, in her own words, again, is stating that her dad took showers with her. So if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what else will. But nonetheless, of course, in 2020, when all this information came out, every single mainstream media source was basically smearing Project Veritas, who was the first ones who received that information. They are also a right-wing type of company. Nonetheless, they received that information and were on the cusp of releasing it to the public. But for whatever reason, it was not cleared for release. I guess they were thinking, holy shit, you know, the ramifications of us releasing this could be horrible, our lives could be in danger, etc. And that's when it was picked up by this other source. So I believe, based on what I'm reading, it seems that somebody from Project Veritas did not want this to go like water under a bridge. They wanted people to know about this, so they actually photocopied the diary itself or leaked the photocopies of the diary to this next source, which of course released it. And again, they released it right before the 2020 election. Nobody is denying that. Nobody is denying that this probably was used as a political tool. But what does that remind us of? It reminds me of the Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, etc. emails that we've gone through on a separate episode of the podcast. It was painted to be some type of smear campaign against the Democrats and had people thinking, oh, well, this information isn't legitimate. You know, it's just a way to misdirect people into voting for the other side of the aisle. But again, I ask you, I'm in the middle of the aisle and I'm sitting here asking you, please, for the love of God, realize that although these things, whether it be Ashley Biden's diary or the Hillary Clinton emails, they were both released in an effort to sway people to vote for the other side. Yes, that is true. But that doesn't make it a partisan issue where we're going to choose our side of the aisle and then say what's right and wrong. If Joe Biden took showers with his young daughter, possibly hypersexualized her, possibly made comments to her friends, etc. And again, this is not out of the realm of possibility. We see how Joe Biden interacts with kids on an everyday basis. There are compilations on YouTube, TikTok, etc. of this man sniffing children or saying things to like 13-year-old girls where he says, oh, when are you going to have your first boyfriend, or you're going to be beautiful when you grow up, or how old are you turning? It's clear the girl's 13 and she goes, oh, I'm turning 14. And he goes, oh, I thought you were going to say 21, like making them seem like they're older than they are. This guy is a fucking creep. You cannot talk me out of that. So the moment all this dropped, of course, many people assumed it to be fact because of the way that that man fucking carries himself. And excuse all my foul language today. I'm cursing like a sailor, but I'm passionate about this. Like, this is ridiculous. He should have to face the media on this. Just so you know, she literally confirmed that the contents of the diary are all true, and this just happened last week. So let's talk a little bit about that. So it was floating around in 2020, and of course, yes, it was released as a way to sway people to vote for the Republican side of the aisle, but that doesn't take away from the fact that Joe Biden is a creep, and this is confirming it. So let's talk about how its authenticity has been approached in the last week, and how the people who have been saying that this is some far-right conspiracy theory all of a sudden are eating their words. And even websites like Snopes, which we know is just media propaganda. Like, if you go to Snopes and ask about a conspiracy theory that ends up being true, at least in the beginning, they'll say, no, it's not true, and they'll stand on that. Only because they, again, are part of this giant propaganda machine. But let's talk about the evidence that says that this is true and authentic, and then we'll kind of wonder why the mainstream media isn't covering that. So this is an actual excerpt from her letter to the judge who's presiding over the case. And keep in mind that this case has nothing to do with some of the claims in this diary and those horrible claims that Ashley Biden made that we just went over, but it has to do with the fact that these people stole the diary and sold it. And of course, that is a violation of somebody's rights. And of course, like, maybe they should face the music on that. But are we really going to sit here and not talk about the elephant in the room? The fact she's talking about having showers with her dad, who carries himself like a pedophile every single chance he gets, right in front of the cameras, etc. Why are we ignoring that? But anyways, here's an excerpt from her letter that she wrote to the judge, and apparently she had her lawyer show up. She did not show up in the courtroom, but her lawyer was present. It states, "My goal in asking your honor to impose a term of incarceration," so she wants these people to go to jail for this, "is to ensure that another woman isn't bullied and shamed like this ever again," Ashley Biden wrote. "The despair I've often felt will never truly go away, but I ask your honor to hold Ms. Harris accountable so that she thinks twice before doing it to somebody else." So again, she's not hiding from the fact that this was her diary. She's not even trying to claim that some pages of the diary were altered, as many people have claimed. So the biggest thing that I've seen online of people still trying to deny this is people basically stating, well, yes, she's admitting that it's her diary, but, you know, those pages could have easily been altered, yada, yada. So I encourage you, go on DuckDuckGo, because you're not going to find this shit on Google, and look for like a PDF or a picture file of this diary. And I'm not asking you to read the whole thing, but I will ask you, go through page by page and just keep swiping up and look at the handwriting, okay? And then go to the page where she talks about Joe Biden, etc. You can find the pictures online, probably on X / whatever you want to call it, Twitter nowadays, X nowadays, I guess. You can find the pictures on there and look at that handwriting versus the handwriting in the entire diary. I'd really like to hear a handwriting expert talk about it, but nonetheless, from the blind eye looking at it, it looks like the exact same handwriting. So we have Ashley Biden, again, confirming in this letter to the judge that this diary was hers, this diary existed, and this diary was stolen, and she wanted it back, and then it was released to the public. So you're telling me that somebody went back into the diary, wrote about Joe Biden doing some pedophile type things like taking a shower with his teenage daughter, but they just happened to do it in the exact same handwriting that Ashley Biden has exhibited throughout the entirety of the diary. Does that make any fucking sense to anybody? No. And again, Joe Biden, right in front of mainstream cameras, etc., has literally sniffed children 10s, 20s, 30 more times. I've seen it so many times, him being a creep and putting his hands on young female girls and just making weird comments to them in general. So we know the problem that's in Hollywood and the entertainment industry with pedophilia. So let me ask you something. Do you think that problem does not exist in Washington? Looking at the Hillary Clinton emails, they talk about weird stuff that ties them to pedophilic type things. Again, do you think this issue does not exist in Washington? It's clear to me by looking at all the information presented that the current sitting U.S. president is clearly into some weird ass shit. And again, excuse my language, I'm just extremely passionate about this. It's obvious that this man is into some weird stuff and he needs to be investigated further. But again, he is the head of this large snake that is trying to literally screw us out of everything that this country has ever worked for. And I'm not claiming that some Republicans won't do the same, so keep that in mind. But he is the head of this giant snake, and if he goes down, they're going to lose this election, and that's the biggest thing they're worried about right now. So meanwhile, Ashley Biden authenticates the diary, okay? And you have the entirety of the mainstream news media quiet about the fact that she authenticated a diary stating that her father took showers with her and that she was molested, heavily implying that he might have been the one who molested her. Instead, what they're talking about is the sentencing of the lady who sold the diary, etc., and the fact that she's going to jail and what could this mean, and we're all focused on Donald Trump's court proceedings as well at the same time all that's going on. So that brings me to my final point. And again, today is just me sitting here. I'm not reading too much. I'm not making 100 notes. I'm just telling you exactly how I feel. So I hope you appreciate that. This is mostly just off the cuff. And every so often I get so passionate about something that I just make an episode and I just figure it out as I go. So this is one of those episodes. But I want everybody who thinks that Trump is the savior of this country to think about a few things. Consider the fact that I also, a few years ago, believed that Trump really did want to put America first, which I'm not saying he doesn't, but I believe that he was like the savior of the country. And many people believe that he's the one going head to head with some of these pedophiles, whether it be in entertainment or politics or just the world structure in general. They believe that he's the one going up against the big banks, the digital currency, and he's going to make this country exactly what it was again. I'm not arguing that he did some great things for our country. If I had to choose right now with a gun to my head, Trump or a Biden 2024 ticket, I'm choosing Trump. And that's just based off of the state of the economy, etc. It's not based on character, moral integrity, or anything like that. But keep in mind something. If Trump was actually going against this entire regime, do you actually think the man would still be alive? I mean, really think about that. Anybody who has exposed, whether it be the entertainment or political systems in general, on any type of big scale, ends up dead. Think about Isaac Cappy, somebody who spoke about the horrors that are going on in Hollywood. He spoke about Seth Green, not Seth MacFarlane. Let me not misquote that. That's a big one. He spoke about Seth Green, who is big in Hollywood, basically being, according to Isaac Cappy, again, just allegations, a pedophile. He talked about Tom Hanks and the bigwigs in Hollywood, and he really went up against them and basically, he had rubbed shoulders with them. So he ended up committing suicide, even though he said on multiple streams he would never commit suicide. And if he did, that it was basically him being murdered. So I guess what I'm asking you is, do you really think at this stage that Trump is going against this? Or is he just the illusion of having this savior of freedom, etc.? Because a lot of the people who are into conspiracies have given up hope on politicians long, long ago, right? We had all come to this agreement in our own head, whether we talked about it out loud or not, that, hey, all these politicians are screwing us over. You know, we have no one to represent us. And then that's when the idea of like revolting against it comes out, where we say, okay, well, what if we all gather in Washington and just say, you're not our president anymore. Like, you guys are all screwing us over. It's obvious. You're all taking payments. You're all sold out to China. You're all sold out all across the world. So you're not representing us anymore. That is power that the people have, whether we realize it or not. We're so trapped in our technology bubbles and Twitter and doom scrolling and all this shit. But we actually have that power. We could do that tomorrow if every single person in our country who has a brain, at least, or knows about this kind of stuff, actually got together in Washington and said, we're not standing for this shit anymore. We could change it tomorrow. And I think many people were waking up to the fact that these politicians aren't doing shit for me or you. They're only doing shit for them and whoever pays them the absolute most. And that's the same reason that lobbying and lobbyists exist. It is a complete spit in the face of freedom and the idea that these people are here to help us. But nonetheless, at a certain point, people were fed up with that. They were fed up with the same old shit, and they were coming to this conclusion, reporting it on social media, etc., basically saying that none of these people are for us. They're all against us. We have no chance. You know, we need to make a change. And then comes Donald Trump. And again, is it possible that he is just the illusion of somebody that's for us, but really he's working with the same people? My proof of this is that he's not dead yet. Again, I don't care about Secret Service. You could say what you want about his security, his money. Nobody is untouchable. If he was really going against this giant regime, I truly believe that he would be dead. And another example of this in my mind, is that The Simpsons predicted the Trump presidency. The Simpsons seem to know a lot about shit that me or you don't know, and they seem to be predicting hundreds, maybe even thousands of things that are coming to fruition in our current reality. Now, many people have said, oh, well, maybe the creator of The Simpsons is a time traveler and this and that, and it's fun to sit here and think about that, right? But what if this is all just part of a grand scheme, again, to convince people like me and you who are done with the political bullshit, done with the status quo of politics and getting fucked over left and right, and they want us to believe in somebody who's actually working with the same people behind the scenes. More proof of this is that Trump was friends with Epstein. Trump is in videos pointing out women in a party with Epstein and laughing. Trump has been on Epstein's plane. He's probably been on Epstein's island. Keep in mind that all three candidates in the current presidential election, RFK, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, all three of them have rubbed shoulders with Epstein. RFK, who many people are saying is like the savior because he's a Kennedy, fuck that. He has sold out completely. He admitted on a podcast, I listened to it a few weeks ago, he was on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein, but he said, yeah, I was on that plane, but we didn't go to the island. We just flew somewhere in the United States. I had no clue that Jeffrey Epstein was into all that stuff. That is complete and utter bullshit. I don't believe it for a second. Anybody with money and power that was rubbing shoulders with Jeffrey Epstein needs to be investigated. They need to answer for these things in front of the media. And honestly, they all need to be fucking prosecuted. And the people that have rubbed shoulders with him, etc., they should not be able to be in power because we know exactly what was going on there. So again, I'm sorry for sitting here and ranting today. It's kind of all jumbled together. These are just my thoughts on the entire subject. But you have a prime example of why our mainstream media is just full of shit and a propaganda machine. Instead of talking about Ashley Biden speaking about being hypersexualized and taking showers with her dad as a teenager, which she knew at the time were not appropriate, again, in her own words, we have them talking about the sentencing of these people and Project Veritas and the legalities, and we had the FBI and DOJ, etc., chasing these people and saying, you stole her diary. Well, how about you look into the fact that your sitting president might be a fucking pedophile? And there's honestly more evidence that says he is than he isn't. So at that point, I'm going to assume he is. Nonetheless, thank you for dealing with me on my long rant today. I just want everybody to open your eyes to the fact that I believe the entirety of the people who are in charge of this country, whether it be Trump, Biden, Democrats, Republicans, I think they're all just behind the scenes laughing about all this stuff. I think they're clearly working together. And there's more evidence of this that Trump was friends with the Clintons, etc., before he ran. He was completely buddies with them. He even donated to some of their campaigns. He was on that side of the aisle, and then he jumped to Republican because that worked better for him. And again, they paint the picture that he's the savior. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. Even with these charges going against him, what are the chances it's all just a huge sham? Again, trying to convince people like me and you that he's on our side. So you have the illusion that somebody is fighting for you. So you don't try to fight for yourself because you have somebody sitting there like Trump and say, oh, well, he's fighting for me. He's fighting for the everyday man. He's fighting against the pedophiles in the industry, whether that be politics or entertainment. I really think it's all just political theater. And that's my thoughts on it. But as always, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to the Between the Lies podcast. I'm not sure exactly what kind of episode I'm going to do in the next 2 weeks, but just know that I'll be working hard on it as always, doing my due diligence. I'll still be making TikToks on the Between the Lies podcast page on TikTok. Again, Between the Lies podcast, no spaces, no numbers, all lowercase. Thank you for listening to the Between the Lies podcast and dealing with my rant today. I appreciate you as always, and now I am signing off. Over and out.